We're going to go ahead and get started. I am Dr. Isaac Hayes, and I am the host of Cafe Manna, and I want to welcome each and every one of you. Today is our Cafe Corner, and so we're excited about our special guest for today. And so I'm going to open us up in prayer because we want to make sure that we have as much time as we can to interact with our guest, Pastor Eric White. So let us pray. Father, we come today. We thank you and honor and bless you for all that you have done. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and grace. And we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender care. We pray your blessings upon your people. We ask for healing and for provision and for deliverance and for breakthrough, for strength and refreshing. And we pray that you bless our time together today, Lord. Be yes, with our Cafe Manna community in Zoom, on Facebook, on YouTube, and on all of our podcast channels. And we'll give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Of course, I want to do a little housekeeping before we dive in. And one, please sign up for our email list at HOTSMinistries.com. We only ask for your first and last name and your email address. It's the best way to stay in tune with whatever is going on with us because we don't put everything on social media. Of course, you get our blogs, you get our bi-monthly or bi-weekly newsletters, any events we got coming up, so forth and so on. And for everybody on Facebook, like and share this right now. Click the button, share it on your Facebook page, and then follow us on all of our social media pages using the handle at Rev Isaac Hayes and the handle at HOTS Ministries, at Rev Isaac Hayes, at HOTS Ministry, and invite others to join Cafe Manna. Our community is growing. More and more people are still learning about it. And for those of you who like to take stuff on the go, of course, you can watch the video of it on YouTube, but you can listen to iHeart, iTunes, and Pandora. Our episodes are on there as well. And then finally, I would be remiss if I didn't remind you of the book, Men After God's Heart, 10 Principles of Brotherly Love. The last church I spoke at a few weeks ago that I told you about for their brotherhood service, one of the person that introduced me talked about how he is still referring back to that book because it's been very impactful. I encourage everyone to get a copy. If you got a copy, buy another copy. We don't ask for donations. We don't ask you to be a partner and contribute money, but we support the ministry. The Zoom costs, all these other things we do cost, the RSS podcast, it costs to run these things, all this technology. And so when you buy the book, you're not just supporting me, you're supporting the ministry and all of the stuff that we have to pay for in order for us to stay connected to you. So please go wherever books are sold. And if you go to the website, hotsministries.com/book, you get an autographed copy from me directly. So with that, I am excited about today's Cafe Manna. We typically have it on the first Thursday of the month, our Cafe Corner, but because of the holiday and everything, I swapped it so that we could recover because I know y'all got big money and y'all be in Dubai and all that kind of stuff. And so we wanted you to get back from your vacation for Labor Day. And so our guest, Pastor Eric White, is the founder and pastor of Perfected Way Ministries in Chicago, Illinois. He is a graduate of Chicago State University with a bachelor's in sociology. Pastor White has held a secular career for the last 20 years in various companies in the field of business sales. He has also practiced real estate as a licensed real estate broker for the state of Illinois for the last 15 years. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome our Cafe Coroner guest today, Pastor Eric White.
Yay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord,
Pastor.
Hear me? How are you doing, my friend?
I'm well, man, God. Now, y'all know my voice gets a little hoarse from now and then, so keep me lifted in prayer, but as long as you can hear me.
We can hear you. We know you're a preacher. Okay. See, you got that preacher.
You talk like this.
That means that you're a preacher for real. You're moving some furniture around when you
preach.
Man,
listen. Bless you, man of God. So glad to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation to you and your beautiful wife. Amen. Dr. Hayes. Hey, Dr. Hayes. God bless you, woman of God. Amen. I have known this man of God for such a long time, and I've watched how God has really moved in his life and his consistency. So when I got this invitation, I was excited. Okay, I'm still excited. I couldn't, you know, and now he invited me once before. To Apostolic Church of God, amen, during the youth time, come and speak to the youth, and quite an experience, and it's always a pleasure. So, man of God, I am here to be a blessing and to
Thank
be
you.
Blessed, amen, to receive from the people of God,
yes,
in
sir.
Jesus' name, amen. It's truly an honor.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate you being with us, Pastor, and like you said, we go way back to the IDC. YPU.
Before we were gray.
We were gray, we were cutting our teeth. And I forgot I invited you, but that just shows that's what relationships are all about, and why.
Absolutely.
Denominations. I know we are driving away from that, and I get it, but those relationships are important. And that's how you really build community through organizations. But I want to hop in, and we welcome everyone who's on Facebook. I see people still chiming in. But the first question I ask everybody who is on for our Cafe Corner is, where do you find the inspiration for all you do? Pastor, business, sales, real estate, not to mention you're a father, you are a husband, among other things. Where do you find the inspiration for all that you do?
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I would have to say family, right? You know, my family, that's first for me, right? You know, of course, God is ultimate, right? But I'm nothing if I cannot be an example for my family, if I can't be a leader for my family, right? So that's what motivates me, is to be a constant example for my family. And that requires for me to have an aligned relationship with God. And that's what gives me the energy, the motivation, because I'm going to tell you, doing the things that I do, and that was just a few that I mentioned, because, you know, I kind of have a hand in a few other things. And I happen to be the youngest of 8 siblings. So I'm also tasked with some of the responsibilities for my parents, because I'm the closest that lives to them. So there's a number of things I have to do. So I truly would say family motivates me. And because of that, it requires for me to be aligned with God and truly my worship unto the Lord, right? You know, that relationship that I have with God. And it's not easy. You know, there are times where it gets really difficult. But here's where I gain strength, is that God created us in his image, right? So, and then I began to examine myself and put myself into perspective, that because I'm made in God's image, I'm constantly learning more about God as he is revealing more to me about me, right? You know, And the beauty about that is, like I tell my congregation all the time, listen, regardless of how high you go in God, you can always go higher. There's never a limit. Hallelujah. There's never a limit in how high you go in God. There's always another level. There's always another dimension, right? So that's what I strive for, is to go as high as I possibly can and keep myself humble as the Lord allows me access. Amen.
That's good. That's good, Pastor. And certainly, when we look at the world in which we live today, and I'm not going to pick on those particular generations, but we know it is more individually driven. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is, you're in these various spaces and sectors of who God has created you to be, these different streams of expression of who Eric White is. You're not doing it for Eric White, but you're doing it for family, because you understand that you have a responsibility, you have an obligation. The family was here before you, the whites will be here after you.
That's right. So
your responsibility is to play your role, to play your position on the team. And so another thing you touched on, which I was just talking with my team on Monday about, mm-hmm. how we have to continue to grow and increase our competencies, because we can only take our teams as far as we are able to go. And so
that's
to
right.
Your point that there's always higher in God, there's always another level in God. If I want the congregation to move, if I want my team to move, if I want my department to move, then that means I have to put more in me in order to pour more into them. And so that's good stuff. That's good stuff. So now, you mentioned, you kind of let the cat out the bag, that me and you go way, way back. I know you not just from the Illinois District Council of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, but you, mm-hmm. were the young people's leader of Dixmoor Apostolic House of Prayer.
Amen.
Dixmoor
mud on my feet. That's right.
You got it. And so Dr. Hayes and I have been over there. Like you said, I invited you. You all had me come and preach for you all.
Oh, absolutely.
And so we kind of, you know, we were in the pipeline of the pastorate, right? You know, you become, mm-hmm. a youth leader, you be in the council, that kind of stuff. But when did you discern that God was calling you to pastoral ministry? Because you're there supporting the bishop, you're helping them out, and then you're a pastor. Like when,
amen.
Did you discern that?
Amen. I'll tell you, you know what? When I was a little boy, so I was raised at Christ Temple Apostolic Church. Mm. Not the one in Joliet, the one on Ashland is no longer in existence, but Pastor Rosetta Thomas. And at the time, she was an independent pastor. But they had all of us to come up. I was five. They had us all, maybe a little older somewhere, definitely under 10. So they had us all to come up and say what we aspire to be. Mm-hmm. And at the time, of course, you know, I just admire, because my parents raised us in church. My father is 90. My mom is 86.
Wow.
But my father's been Deacon White forever, right? So he and my mom raised us in church. So that's all we knew was church. However, I made decisions when I got older, but grace, thank God for his grace and his mercy, right? But long story short, they brought us up and said, what are you aspiring to do? I literally yelled out, I'm going to be a preacher.
Mm.
And didn't even realize what I was saying. However, when I began my journey in terms of when the Lord truly saved me, and I'll tell you my story real quick. if I can. How much time do we have?
We end at 8, so.
End at 8, okay. So I had a cousin. He and I hung out together, did everything together. And as a matter of fact, we used to actually come to church and knew we were going out to the club after we left church.
Mm-hmm.
But I had told them, hey, before we go to the club, you know, we're going to go to church because I was the one that was driving. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So we would go to church and then go to the club. Long story short, he was shot and killed, right? And when he was shot and killed, my grandmother had actually started pastoring the church at this time because Pastor Thomas passed away and my grandmother took over. And when he was shot and killed, that made me begin to think God was already dealing with me anyways, right? And at that time, I began to say, okay, he will never have the opportunity to do what God was giving me the opportunity to do, and that was to choose Christ. So when I chose, because I chose to live for the Lord, yes, God saved me, but I made a choice, and I believe that salvation is a choice. Right? You know, because it is a way of life. Yes, the Lord does draw you, but you still got to make a choice. Right? So when I made that choice and the Lord saved me and delivered me and filled me with the Holy Ghost, I knew at that time that I was called. However, there was things that God had to bring me to that stage. Mm-hmm. And as I began that journey, and Lord, long story short, the Lord led me to Dixmoor. And then I was able to enter into Enon Bible College is where I got. My training was through Enon Bible College,
right?
Going through the ordination, ministerial and ordination. Had the opportunity when Bishop Brazier actually did the ordination. That was in 2005.
Yeah.
So when I began that journey, I knew that I was called to the pastorate. The timing, however, I was unsure of when that timing would be. And Bishop Hill called me in the office on one Sunday and told me, hey, look, listen. He started having the conversation with me about when I was going to begin a work. And at that time, I wasn't looking to move. And I literally had said to him that I wasn't ready to move. But then some time after that, my wife and I had a service. And it was history from there. And Bishop Hill actually is the one who installed me as a pastor. And we've been gone ever since. And that's been since 2011.
Wow.
Right? 2011. Yeah, 2011. Yeah,
that's
2011.
Good. Amen. That's good stuff. And yeah, so you felt a call to preach before you turned 10.
Before
and
I
God
turned
brought
10.
You, brought you into that process. And then... and if everybody in the community, you know, if you got a question for often call you bishop or pastor, raise your Zoom hand and we'll acknowledge you. But I like the fact that you said Bishop Hill came to you. Like most times we go to the pastor and say, pastor, we feel called, and he or she may, you know, support us in that call, or they may oppose us in that call. But it's interesting, and I think that speaks a lot to Bishop Hill. And I saw you had something with him on your page too recently.
Absolutely.
But here's what I want to ask you, because I want to make sure the community gets time. What does it take to be a bivocational pastor, considering that pastoring is itself a full-time job, right? And
mm-hmm.
for those who don't know what bivocational means, is that they not only pastor, but they also work a secular job, a regular job, if you will, sometimes that money is going to help support the church.
That's right.
But also, the church can't always support the pastor financially, and because he has a family, he has responsibilities, he has to pastor, or she has to pastor and still work a 9-to-5 on top of that. So what does it take to be a bivocational pastor?
Prayer. It takes prayer, right? You know, I'm gonna tell you, my prayer life, what I really appreciate about having the opportunity to sit at some of the feet of great people, including my grandmother, and my mother and my father, but Bishop Hill as well. My grandmother taught me something that was very valuable. And that is, she said to me, she said, "Eric, if you don't have a prayer life, then you will be in trouble. If you cannot get a prayer through, you are in bad shape." So my commitment has consistently been, I must pray. And not only pray, but pray with the intent to reach God. Mm. Pray with a mindset to be vulnerable and to be open and to be in a position to receive, right? You know, where that, because I am still in the flesh.
Right.
There are struggles in the flesh that I have to acknowledge before God.
Right.
Right. So that God sees that my intentions are pure, right? You know, so that is what keeps me grounded, is having that vulnerability in prayer. Also to understanding that how I have to have agreement between myself and my wife, right? You know, so the scripture talks about how our prayers can be hindered when there's levels of contention.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I work to be mindful of the word of God, right? Because the word of God is true. There's nothing more pure, nothing more sacred, nothing more holy than the word of God. So putting God's word in my heart, right, where that I'm living it out, that is what gives me strength by being a bivocational pastor, yeah. Right, you know, is putting God's word first. It gives me the drive. Also, too, man, I got 2 kids in college.
Right, so you got
2 kids. Yes, sir. I have a son that is a senior at Western Illinois University. He's getting his degree in sociology. Yeah. And he's aspiring to go into advanced education after this. And then I have a daughter that's in her junior year in Virginia at Hampton. And she's doing pre-med. And she's looking to go to med school after that. And I have a son that is a sophomore in high school. And he goes to Providence Catholic in New Lenox. He's our athlete. He plays football and basketball. And so, man, if anything, brother, I got to keep these bills paid.
I hear. I feel like you got to be a pentavocational
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good, yeah. that you started off with prayer. You didn't talk about time management. You didn't talk about money management. You know, you said this thing requires prayer because your time now is split among these various responsibilities that you have to have the power of God, right? And a connection and alignment with God for him really to give you acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can do in less time what Come you on. Really need to do in more time. And so I Come think on. That's that it's interesting. You know, I didn't expect you to say that, but it's interesting you started with prayer, because and that's because you're apostolic, because you went to prayer and the word. So I said, apostolic Pentecostal. But that's the foundation is right. prayer and the word. And so I think that's good. And again, Cafe Manna community, if you all have a question, comment for Pastor White, please raise your hand. I don't want to do all the talking, mm-hmm. but you mentioned that your son is pursuing a degree. One of your sons is pursuing a degree in sociology.
Yeah.
But you have a degree in sociology. Yeah. I find sociology interesting now, because when I was getting my doctorate, and when I was defending my dissertation for all intents and purposes, mm-hmm. my primary reader said to the other two fellas who was there, the department chair and then the other person I picked, is that he said, I'm a historian. You all are sociologists, so I'm glad you're here. And that's when the connection with what I was doing around missional communities in the early church hit me, that this is, you know, theological sociology. And so I say all Amen. That to ask, how has your degree in sociology helped you as a pastor, considering the world in which we live and the church in which we belong are both sociological?
Mm-hmm. Great question, Dr. Hayes. Amen. So to piggyback on the prayer, I also believe that personalities, right? You know, you have to be prayed up and to be able to work with different personalities. And that's what sociology is about, right? About, you know, culture. And I've always been, you know, in how those cultures interact. I've always been a person of curiosity. I've always been a curious individual. Right. You know, so I believe that it's important to be able to understand different points of view and understand different belief systems and to be able to be a light. Right. You know, I mean, that's the role of the believer. Just on the call with Bishop Smith, he talked about, you know, being salt and light, right? Which is important, right? You know, being an individual that is able to distribute grace, right? You know, to have levels of grace and love where that people can see the God in you and it gives them hope to be able to conquer whatever they're dealing with. And sure. I think that is where the church has to point its focus today. Because here's the bottom line. Jesus still saves. Salvation is still needed. I think that we are, yes, in a era of technology, and technology is going fast, right? You know, faster than we ever could imagine. As I was talking about earlier, is that being made in God's image, all of what we're discovering, God already put it in us. Mm-hmm. We're just discovering it, and everything that we discover is not beyond God. So even with AI, which is helping companies and businesses all over the globe to be more intentional about how they are working with their clients, how their end users are having a better experience, right? It's all about the experience, right? You know, even how we interact today, you know, with our phones, smartphones or devices, you know, if you notice, whenever you are searching on something, say you search for something online, you want to buy a pair of boots,
right?
Then you will notice that you start getting these periodical splash pop-ups on different kinds of boots.
Right, what you just searched. Yeah.
What you just searched. And so basically, they're socially trying to help you. They're marketing to you to start buying that particular thing. Yeah. Right, you know, just another way of how technology is working. So, you know, all of that technology that's going on is how the church also is being impacted, where we could be more of an influence for the kingdom of God. It's about how we began to put things in perspective. So I think that we're moving in a great direction, but the church must remain to be the light. We have to stay firm on our belief and not waver, right? You know, we have to stand firm in our salvation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's right. And I see Gloria, I think you unmuted, so I'm assuming you want to say something, but before I go to you and then I'm gonna go to Wendell, if Gloria, you're not coming in, is as you were talking, I was thinking about integration, right? That I know that we lift up the word and we also understand we live in a world. Right. And mm-hmm. so, if you know, when I preach and teach, I always integrate. So I'm integrating sociology, psychology, all kind of stuff, because we still live in the world. And my point is to your point about being salt and light, we have to infect and effect and affect all sectors of society. And so we don't live in this enclave called the church. But right. we have the church that is to go out into the world.
Absolutely.
And get integrated into the fabric of our society so that we can season and lighten those dark places. But when do I see your hand? And I always want to make sure. And if anybody else got a question for Pastor White, please raise your hand. I want y'all to get involved.
Pastor White, behind every great man is a great woman.
Amen.
What collaborative efforts and support have First Lady White helped with, contributed with you, not only with your pastoral duties, being a wife and being a mother?
Great question. So my wife has been my support and sounding board even before we were married. So I met my wife. I was doing a job temporarily. She was my trainer on that job, right? And that was 26 years ago, right? Amen. So we dated for about 3 years and then we got married. We've been married now 23 years, going to our 24th year in 2025. Amen. So we're grateful. So now, in terms of her support, she's side. I've actually made her a co-pastor. Mm-hmm. Right. So she's side by side with me in the ministry. In the beginning stages of our marriage, I guess probably up until about when the kids went to middle school or about to get high school, she stayed at home and raised the kids, right? So then now she's currently, right now, she's working on the PhD. She's been able to complete a few other degrees. She has an RN degree. She has a bachelor's degree. She has an associate degree. She got a master's from Loyola. Now she's working on a PhD from some other school. And, you know, so she has contributed her life to me and our family, and of course to the work of the ministry. So she works side by side with me in all things, and I'm grateful. And I've always said God made her strategically and specifically for me.
For you. Amen. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
God bless you, Wendell, and the First Lady. Amen.
Thank you, Wendell. Now, that was a very good question. Now, y'all should have been reported to HR, but we'll leave that alone for right now. But fraternizing in the workplace.
Yeah, we should have been reported to HR, right. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I met her, I left.
Okay, you didn't want to get her in trouble. Okay.
I no longer worked there. I worked there for about 2 weeks. So I said, you know what? I was only supposed to be there just to meet you, right? You know, so, and look, we went out for lunch, and I told her we're going Dutch, and she said if you would not pay for my meal, we wouldn't have been together. So I ended up paying for the meal.
All right, you should have been on the previous Cafe Manna. We talked about who pulls the pay when you go out, but we'll talk about that another day too. But you must have been madly in love, because Morton Jacob worked to get his woman. You quit to get your woman. So I guess
I went to another field. I just kept her. You know, picked her up from there.
Right. All right. I see the good doctor number 1-2 got her hand up. So let me bring you in, Dr. Hayes, if you would unmute yourself.
PTO, everyone, and praise the Lord, Pastor White.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. So good to see you as well.
Yes. I wanted to just kind of piggyback on that question about the support of your wife. And I wanted to know, I remember my husband and I was out and about, and we saw the two of you. And you two had got together and decided to do some, how do I want to say this? Getting healthy in your weight.
Oh, yeah. Amen. I literally just left the gym. Yeah, I went this morning, then went back this afternoon because I didn't get a chance to get into the steam, you know, into the sauna. I wanted to get into the sauna. So,
so my question is, how did that decision for both of you to do that journey together make it more successful and helpful, and just kind of talking about that, really coming alongside in that whole thing?
Great question. I really appreciate that question. And I'm going to tell you, I don't shy away from that because first off, she did it first, right? You know, we talked about it. And then, you know, she said, well, I'll do it first. Let me see how it works out for me, and then you do it. It's no secret. I had a number of health issues, and I needed to do something, okay? I prayed, I believed God, and I felt like this was God answering prayer. When I went through the process of the surgery, because I had gastric sleeve surgery. When I had the sleeve surgery, the medical conditions that I had within about maybe a week or so were completely gone, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so all the complications that I was having, I no longer had. And guess what? I've never had them anymore. That was since 2015. So I've just, you know, worked to maintain, to keep the weight off, and used the surgery as a tool to help me do that. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. And thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor. And I think it's good when both partners are committed to total wellness. Right. Because, you know, if Dr. Hayes keep getting on the treadmill, there's something on me. Said, man, I got to go and get on that doggone treadmill. You know what I mean? Because there's an accountability in that. And there's an encouragement in that. Because, you know, you 20 some years in, Doc, you know, you ain't trying to start over. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't trying to get left behind. So.
Especially when she get this PhD, she don't make some money, man. She
make some money. No, that's
right. A return on my investment.
That's right. You need a return on your investment. Gloria, I think I saw you raising your hand a few times. So go ahead, unmute yourself. You still muted. There you go.
Okay. Now, with your children, okay, and you being in the church, is it easy for you to have your children come in and get baptized and start working with the church, or is it a struggle? Because sometimes kids don't think the way we want them to think, And that's what I'm working with my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, trying to get them involved.
I understand that. So I'm gonna say a couple things, and you know, it's really, you know, I'll put it this way. What I and my wife have done is to acknowledge that our kids will be products of what they experience, mm-hmm. of what they see.
Okay.
So, you know, I've worked to be an example.
Mm-hmm.
So what they see is what I want them to imitate.
Mm-hmm.
So I've raised them, you know, not saying that no one else does this, but I've raised them in church. So there's mm-hmm. an expectation that mm-hmm. they have, mm-hmm. right? You know, so it's like they're involved by default mm-hmm. because that's what we did every Sunday. So mm-hmm. it's almost like I don't have to ask. I don't have to, it's an expectation,
okay.
right? Even now, as they are adults, my two that's away in school,
mm-hmm.
When they come home, they're in service on Sunday.
Okay.
Right, you know, so I think that it's important, even if children don't want to participate, just to have them present now. In terms mm-hmm. of baptism,
mm-hmm.
I allowed them to make their decision. I taught them about the importance of baptism, mm-hmm. how it is a pathway to salvation, mm-hmm. how it's part of salvation, mm-hmm. How it is a necessity to be baptized according to the word, right?
Yeah.
So Bishop Hill taught me, which I'm so grateful for Bishop Dr. Freddie Hill and his wife, Dr. Roz. But Bishop Hill taught, he said, listen, the word of God will never fail. Go with the word, teach the word, stay with the word. That is what will draw people. That's what's going to stand to be true. Whenever you try and do things, you know, out of, say, man's intelligence, or out of your own intelligence or opinion,
okay,
that's where things could become unstable, because it's not on a word foundation, right? You know, give them something that they can, you know, draw back on, that they're going to have to use. Because I, you know, even now when they're away at school, I send them stuff and say, hey, did you have an opportunity to read your word? I know you want to have fun with your friends, but did you read your word? Mm-hmm. And when you read your word, you know, how do you apply that, you know, to your life? So I would say, you know, being the example before them, and then encouraging them to participate even when they don't want to, and maybe giving them the word of God, but not so much at one time. If it ain't number one scripture that, you know, can be impactful for them, you know, that will have meaning, let it be that one scripture. And then let God. So I believe that Paul said one plant, one water, but God gives the increase. Mm-hmm. We don't have to, you know, see everything happen at once. But if we plant the seed and let God do the work, and sit in expectation for God to do it, know that God is going to do it, begin to claim them in Jesus' name. Pray over them. Yeah. Amen. Pray for God to cover. Hey, pray for God to cover them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Tell the devil he's a liar. You know, don't go into the mindset and believe, you know, what the devil is trying to put before you, that is, you know, that is worth knowing. Mm-hmm. God said he can do all things. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God can do anything. Amen. Anything is possible. Amen. And it's God's will that our children be saved. It's God's will that our children be delivered. The promise is unto our children and to our children's children. It means, Lord, that God's a call. Amen. So it is God's will that they be saved and delivered, but they have their own process as well. But I got my responsibility to pray for them. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to cover them in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And what they're going to see is an example. Amen. To live before God righteously in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And we're going to bring the choir in now. And
Cora, Hayes.
Did you have something? I saw you unmuted. So I just want to know.
No, I'm just taking all this good stuff in.
Okay.
I don't have any comments at the moment.
Okay. Demetric, I see your hand. Yeah.
Pastor White, I had a question on, you said when you was 10 years old that you knew that you was called to be into ministry. How did you know that? Did you have a sign like Samuel did? You know, God, you know, was calling him and told him this is what he wanted him to do. How did you know that at 10 years old, this was your calling? That's the question I want to know.
So, great question. I've always admired the pastors and the ministers that would preach the gospel. And I was under 10 at that time when I, you know, declared that I'm gonna be a preacher, right? You know, now I can remember a time when I was asleep and the Lord spoke to me, okay? And now this was of age that I understood, right? Before, you know, after 10, I understood at this age. And it was as if when I was asleep, I felt the presence of God. And I heard the voice of God, right? And I heard the Lord speak to me. And I knew then that the Lord had a work for me. Amen.
Amen.
And there was a couple other encounters that took place with me in the Lord. And I knew that this is the path that God has for me. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Demetric, any other questions for Pastor? We got about 5 minutes left. We're going to have him pray. So anyone else? Want to jump in here, please feel free.
I do have a question.
Okay.
Pastor White.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you see that same kind of a calling that you talked about in yourself? Do you see that signs with that in any of your children?
That's a great question. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what God will do with them as it relates to them ministering the gospel. What my prayer is that they be witnesses wherever they go.
Oh, amen. That's good. That's
amen.
Good.
Right?
Yes. That they be a witness wherever they go, right? Oh, you know, good. So whatever door, wherever they end up, however they operate and move in the earth. My wife and I's prayer is that these are our gifts that God has given us, that we give them back to him, mm-hmm. that he will use mm-hmm. them for his glory now. I work to remind them of the importance to continue to have the fear of God And not the fear to be afraid, but the fear to reverence him, right? The degree of reverence, meaning yes. I worship the Lord, that fear, right? You know, that I want to know him more, that I reverence yes. him, I honor him, I worship him. And if they can keep that level of sensitivity at the forefront of their lives, I think that the Lord will prosper them mightily and use them how he see fit. Of course, I would love to see them, you know, work in the ministry. I've had them to give, you know, speeches at times and, you know, words of encouragement. Like my oldest son, I used to have him to do like Youth Sunday, you know, where he would bring a message, you know, so it's in them, but my prayer is that they be a witness wherever they are.
Okay.
Thank you, Cora, for that question.
Sister Cora, I am excited about your question, though. I'm going to tell you why. It's because she said, I'm taking this in. I don't have a question yet. So that made me feel like she's actually thinking about a question. So I was excited when you actually said you had a question.
Yes.
I said, okay, she's an intentional thinker. I appreciate that. Yes. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, well, I'm grateful, Pastor, for you being on with us and kind of wrapping a bow around it. I think, Gail, are you unmuting? You got something?
Yes, and I'm so sorry. I've been having problems with my computer. I'm running out of juice, but I just want to say, Pastor, I have enjoyed you thoroughly, and it makes me feel Amen. So good that now I know this is two African-American young families that Amen. I can just like the two doctors, Dr. Hayes's, you know,
Amen.
You all seem to be friends. Your presentation tonight was awesome. Continue to do the good work. And I'm so blessed that your wife is getting higher education, because that Amen. Is what African Americans need to do. Continue to do that. And it just blesses my soul to hear you tonight.
Amen. Thank you so much. Please keep us in prayer. Thank you. Yeah, thank I really you, appreciate that.
Okay, and I'm losing my charge, so I'm going off. Thank
All
you.
Right. All right. Pay your bill.
You know, I had problems.
I couldn't
get They know I'm a comedian. I'm charging tickets for my comedy, though. But
it's a comedian. We were talking about him tonight. When he teaches and preaches, he makes it real.
Amen.
And he always interject humor, and we just love our assistant pastor.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
All right, right.
Goodbye, everybody.
All Bye. Right. See you later.
Bye. Bye bye.
All right. Well, Pastor.
Dr. Hayes, we got to get you over to Perfected, man.
Man.
And hallelujah.
Let
and
me know.
And let the Lord use you, man. I'm telling you the truth. We got to get you over there.
Happy to fellowship with you all.
Yeah, I'm going to do that for sure. I'm going to get you. Yeah, we're going to set that up.
Okay.
And get you over, you know, maybe for a brotherhood service, something like that. Just come and just let the Lord use you, man of God. I'm looking forward. I'm excited. I'm really excited about
me too.
This.
I'm excited.
Really
I'm excited. You got me excited.
Yeah.
Now we got a bit or two left here. So please inform the Cafe Manna community how we can follow you and support the work you're doing.
Amen. So we are located at 2705 East 83rd Street in Chicago, Illinois, 60617. We are in worship service on Sundays at 1 p.m., every Sunday at 1 p.m., any given Sunday. And then on Tuesday nights at 7:30 p.m., we have Zoom prayer and Bible study. You can follow us on Facebook under Perfected Way Ministries. Mm-hmm. Perfected Way Ministries. Perfect with an ED on the end. And you know what? The Lord gave me that name in 2008. Amen. A couple years before we even started the church. I started in 2010, I think. But the Lord gave me that name. Right. God is my strength in power and maketh my way perfect. Read that 2 Samuel 2 and 22, I think. Hold on, 22. 2 Samuel 22 and 33. Okay. 2 Samuel 22 and 33. Right? You know, so you can follow us there on Perfected Way Ministries on Facebook. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Now, would you close us out in prayer?
Absolutely. And are there any prayer requests?
I'll continue to pray for me because I'm still having a problem with my heel. I've been having stuff from heels for, so pray for me for healing.
All right.
I ask for prayer for family. Family is the root. It's just, it's in there. It's everything we do. So I pray. Okay. I ask for prayer for family.
And I ask for prayer so I can be able to walk and get out of this house and go to church. That's what I want.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm going through physical therapy right now for my knee. And so I'm praying that it will help me not jump in pain every time I step a certain way up. But
I know how you're feeling. I know.
You know.
I know. Lord have mercy. Yes, I know.
Then all I can get back to my exercising. Wendell.
Amen. Are any others?
Eyes.
And amen. Praise the Lord, Sister Kathy.
Praise the Lord, Resident.
All right. I do ask that if you desire, because I believe in corporate prayer. So I don't have to be the only one praying. Let's pray in agreement. So if you desire to come off of mute to pray in agreement, I do welcome that in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Yes. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you, oh God, Jesus, for all that you have done and for who you are. Father, we thank you because you are the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We adore you. We lift you up. Father, we ask you right now, you look upon each of us. Oh God, look upon sisters, oh God, that need healing, for healing right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, touch. Jesus. Hallelujah. God, touch her, Father. Heal her, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for family right now. We pray for family right now. Oh God, we thank you right now that love will increase. Father, we thank you right now. Oh God, you know what we need, God. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We glorify you. We adore you. Oh God, we thank you for the man of God. Look on the man of God and his wife. Keep them, oh God. Cover them. Hallelujah. Look on their son. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. Let whatever they need, Lord. Oh God, you provide it for them. In the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke the enemy. Hey. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We glorify you. We adore you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus'
name to be so.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. For every future manifestation that you will deliver, I pray now that souls will be added in the name of Jesus. I pray now, oh God, you will move by your spirit. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Whatever the man of God set his man to do, I pray, God, you will pray for him in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we believe it to be so. Every individual on this call, Father, I pray now you be with them. Be in their home, glory. Be in their homes, Father. Be in their cars. Hallelujah. Touch. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, give their heart's desire according to your will. In Jesus' name. We believe it right now. We pray for our government. government. Father, we pray for this presidential election in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we believe it, we receive it. Hey,
hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, we believe it right now. Let worship be our vehicle. Hallelujah. Let worship be our vehicle, God, that we get to, glory to God, that we get to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Give you all the glory. Amen. Thank you, Pastor White. Glory to God. Ministries.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you. Please give First Lady, co-pastor, our best.
And we will
be praying for you all and for the two in school, in college, and the one coming right behind them.
Amen. We're going to pray for increase and perfection in Jesus' name. Yes,
now, let me bless you all. Next week is Dialogue with the Doctor. We normally do fourth, but I have a church meeting I have to do. So Dialogue with the Doctor will be next week. And then I will pick back up with you all on fourth Thursday. So let me bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.